morning.
This morning I'm really glad because Mark rang me up this morning to ask me what I was preaching on, and he's brought hymns that line up quite well with the theme. The reading I've got this morning is from John 14, and here it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back for you. If you loved me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when this does happen, you will believe." In this reading, we see the disciples gathered with Jesus in the upper room at the time of the Last Supper, the night before Jesus gives himself to die for our sins. And here Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to leave them, but they shouldn't grieve or sorrow over his going. He tells them that as a result of his leaving, he would not only bestow the Holy Spirit upon them to teach and comfort them, but he would also leave his peace. Let's hear those words again. He said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." And they're wonderful words. Really wonderful words. It's a wonderful promise. It's a promise of peace. But there's something curious about them as well, because in that last phrase he says, "I do not give as the world gives." So what does Jesus mean by that? Well, let's just consider the situation for a moment. Just a few days before, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem in triumph. Sat on a donkey, he entered Jerusalem to the acclaim of the crowds. The crowds who were shouting, "Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the Son of David!" The crowds who threw palm branches on the road, a traditional welcome for the King. Just a few days later, those very same crowds would scream at Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And now we find Jesus, who has ridden into Jerusalem in such triumph, in an upper room with his disciples. It was the night he was betrayed, the night before he would be crucified on Calvary's Hill. And now he was bidding farewell to his faithful friends. He knew what fate awaited him. He knew that within a matter of hours he would be arrested. He knew he would suffer the unimaginable horror and pain of crucifixion. Yet he could sit with the disciples and say to them those wonderful words, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives." He was at peace when everything had dramatically changed. He was at peace when the whole world seemed to be against him. He was at peace when he knew what awaited him for the following day. But what does it mean for us? For those who are the children of God? For those of us who are Christians? What is this peace that Christ gives, and which is not like that which the world gives? As he said, it's not a worldly kind of peace. It's not the peace of the spot in nature that's so beautiful and serene. It's not the peace of a mother and a child, tender and gentle. It's not the peace of a tropical beach where there's no storms or violent waves. It's not even the peace where there are no wars or fighting or quarrelling. But rather, it's a peace in knowing that in the midst of turmoil, there is a rock which we can shelter, a place where we can be nurtured and raise a new generation without fear, a power that can spread its wings over us and keep us safe. We all have those times when things just don't seem to go right. Those times when all of our troubles weigh us down and it feels as if we have all the weight of the world on our shoulders. Those times when our friends move away from us and we feel so lonely. Those times where there seems to be more weak than money and we don't know how we'll manage. Times when peace is certainly not the word that we've used to describe how we feel. And that's why so many of us look for peace in the world. We look for the safe place where there is nothing that can disturb us. We look for the quieting of our hearts, which are so often disturbed by fear. We look for assurance, the hope and the joy. And all these are good things to look for, because God doesn't want us to suffer needlessly. And many of us also pray about peace not only for our families and ourselves. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for an end to armed conflict, an end to war and terrorism, an end to violence that nations and individuals do to one another. And that also is a good thing to do. We look for peace. We seek peace. We think of it as an end to the things that disturb us. An absence of fear, an absence of conflict, an absence of turmoil. We forget that the lack of peace is in our hearts and in our world and is a consequence of other factors rather than the problems we're facing. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and this is much more than an absence of things that disturb us. Rather, peace, shalom, is linked to the concept of wholeness, of being at one with God and with our neighbours and with ourselves. It's not only an absence of war, but of having the cause of war, greed, hate, fear, injustice, prejudice, eliminated. Of having not only an absence of pain and distress, but having the disease that caused the pain and distress cured. That is what Jesus was about when he walked among us, and what he's about now, through his Holy Spirit, from his place next to the Father above. Jesus was, and Jesus is, the one who heals the disease, rather than the one who simply masks the symptoms. Jesus was, and Jesus is, the one who built a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth, rather than trying to fix the old one. That's what the Bible says. That is what the heart of faith says. We have a vision to guide our walking and to provide assurance to us as we walk. We have a destination and a goal, a purpose and a plan. More than that, we have the one who is able to bring about what he's promised, one who is able to bring to pass a new world. And we know this because we're witnesses of how he brings to pass new people, transformed people, people who've moved from blindness to sight, from despair to hope, from sickness to health, from a hatred of self to a love of all, from death to life. But more than a destination that provides us direction, more than a vision that provides us with hope, there's a goal that keeps us busy. We have a presence here and now, a presence that compasses, helps us, and lets us know peace. A presence that reminds us that the Word of God is effective and accomplishes what it sets out to do. That presence is the presence of Christ himself, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. It's part of what Jesus means when he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." And he does not give as the world gives. The world's answer to our anxiety is prescribed sedatives and medication. We know this only masks the symptoms and doesn't get to the deep root of our problems. Or encourages us to pull ourselves together, get over it. Well, that often makes us feel even worse. But what Jesus gives is effective. What he gives is eternal. What he gives cannot and will not fail. He gives us peace with God through his love, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. And he gives us a new world through his sharing with us the eternal plan of God. And that goes beyond anything that the world can offer. Just let me ask one or two questions for you to think about. I wonder what it would be like if, instead of complaining that things are not perfect here in our village, or at home, or at work, we claim the promises of God and praise God for all the good things that he's working out in our midst even now. What would it be like if, instead of moaning about our 1 out of 3 marriages fail, we thank God for the 2 out of 3 that work? Or instead of complaining about the bad news that we so easily complain about, we speak of the good things that God is doing in lives all around us, all of the time. What would it be like if, what would our whole community be like if, instead of moaning about all the little stuff that goes wrong, we begin to delight in all the little stuff that goes right? It's a change of attitude. It's a change of outlook. it's a change of focus. Because instead of focusing on all the bad things, let's focus on all the good things. Because the good things outweigh the bad things considerably. Interestingly, hymn that we have just sung, Peace Like a River, was written by a man, a good Christian man, who suffered greatly in his life. He was a successful businessman until there was a recession and all of his businesses collapsed. He was left destitute. He struggled a little and got on a little, and then his wife and three daughters set sail for France. And on the way, the ship was sunk, and all three of them were lost. All four of them, sorry, were lost. On receiving a telegram telling him that all four of his family had been and perished in the sea, he sat down and he wrote the hymn that we have just sung, Peace Like a River That Overwhelms My Soul. That's what Jesus was talking about. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what the world does to us, we can find peace in Jesus Christ.